Welcome to the Start, Scale, Succeed podcast with me, your host, Nicole Higgins, the buyer and retail coach, sharing tips, advice, and insight from entrepreneurs that have just launched to multi-million pound business owners. We will be discussing the challenges they faced, advice they would give, and the milestones they achieved and how they got there. Also joining me will be a broad range of experts with some tips and practical how-tos, episodes that will help your business grow and to enable you to live the life you crave. The types of experts that you'll hear from will be those that you will find beneficial as you start and scale your business, from branding and social media experts to mindset coaches and PR and marketing. There will also be solo episodes from me discussing a variety of topics from sourcing to maximizing the profit in your business. Welcome to this week's podcast. Today, I'm joined with Rishan Dorset, founder of The Glossary, a beautiful beauty brand based on superfood ingredients and sustainability. Rishan, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me today, Nicole. I'm really excited to be here.
We've got lots of interesting things to talk about in terms of how you've raised investment, the launch that you did, which was amazing, and obviously the brand itself. But let's understand what your background is and how you started the brand and what The Glossary is. I know I mentioned it very briefly, but what is The Glossary?
So hi everyone, as Nicole said, I'm Rishan, founder of The Glossary, and it's inspired by my plant-based lifestyle. So I've been vegan for 5 years now. And as I was making the switch from eating meat to, you know, sustaining a full plant-based diet, I quickly discovered the holistic benefits of whole foods. My skin improved. I had a lot more energy. I didn't have that sluggish feeling that I used to have after eating meat. So I thought if a change in diet could have this drastic change on my wellness, I wonder if a change in the skincare products that I was using also have that change. So I went out looking for skincare products that was as nourishing as the food that I was putting in my body. But what I met was, you know, they just didn't work for me. And as a qualified natural skincare formulator, I thought, why don't I just make my own products? So that's how the idea came about.
So where are we, timeline, when is that then? When were you thinking that? And how did you just decide to be a formulator? What's your...
I studied law with criminology at Keele University. So I initially thought I was going to be a human rights lawyer. And I was actually working in a East London law firm prior to starting this entrepreneur journey. So I was a criminal and human rights paralegal, and I was working on quite violent cases. So a lot of joint enterprise murder cases, Section 18 grievous bodily harm cases, like gun offences. And I wouldn't say university sold me a dream, but it wasn't what I thought law life would be postgraduate degree. Yeah. And I just know back then the toll of the violence and just in some cases, the injustice of some of the cases that I was dealing with just took a toll on me. And I was just like, This is not aligned with who I am becoming. Like, I'm stressed out. I'm 25. Like, I just can't be living my life like this. Yeah. So I eventually quit. And at that time, between like quitting and finding this entrepreneur path, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I had a friend that had worked abroad in Ibiza. So I was just like, I'm going to do that. So literally, I remember telling my mum that I've quit my law job and I'm going to go work in Ibiza. And I remember her face, she was just like, seriously, like, I can't believe this is what you've chosen to do. But it worked out in the end. So yeah, I did go to Ibiza. I worked in Lineker's bar. They have worked for Wayne Lineker. And I worked there from May till October as a PR and barmaid. Met incredible friends. Really where the seed for like entrepreneurship was planted, because that's the first time I'd lived away from home, first time I lived in a foreign country, met all these people that were kind of like working for themselves. And I was just like, oh, so it is possible. You don't have to live this kind of like 9-to-5 life where you're literally just going to work, coming home, going to work, coming home, doing the same thing over and over again. So when I came back from Ibiza, I had saved tips that I had earned as a working for in a bar. As you can imagine, hen do's, stag do's, like, you know, every day. And I came back to the UK and enrolled on my natural and organic skincare course with Formula Botanica. So this was, when did I go to Ibiza? I went to Ibiza in 2017. So yeah, I came back, studied for 2 years, the natural and organic entrepreneur formulator course with Formula Botanica, which is like an accredited online distance learning school. And they teach you everything on how to make natural and organic skincare products safely and scientifically. And they also have a side of the course where they teach you how to build a beauty brand. So that's kind of like how it started. And then I launched another. The journey's just been so long. So it doesn't give that on my social media. But yeah, I then launched my first initial brand, which was called Cocolem. And the idea was that I was using coconut oil and lemon oil in the ingredients to make lip care products.
Yeah.
But that got stopped just before I launched because I received a cease and desist letter from Chanel. And their argument was that if I was to launch Cocolem, the wider community would think that it's some way connected with Chanel because I was using their trademark name Coco in the name. But even now, how many years later, I think that was a bit of a stretch because I said the Coco was in reference to coconut and you can't trademark a fruit, but their IP lawyer just wasn't having it really. And at the end of the day, it was like a bootstrap brand, one person. I don't have the personnel or the money to go up against Chanel. So I kind of just let that go. And that's when the whole self-reflection, how do I live my life? I'm quite live a natural and holistic lifestyle, vegan. How do I incorporate these values into a skincare brand? So that's how the idea for the Glossary started happening. And then I eventually launched the Glossary in March 2020, before COVID.
Just before COVID.
Before COVID, right.
And talk me through the launch of that brand and how you planned it at the beginning.
To be honest with you, at the very beginning, I didn't have much of a solid launch plan, which now looking back, I should have really taken a lot more time to plan it out a lot more strategically. But I think just coming off the back of all that stress with Chanel, I was just like, I just want to get the brand out there. I just want to get into people's hands. I want them trying it. But one of the two things that I did do, I did have an Instagram page at the time. So I was posting aligned content, just keeping people aware that something was coming, that even though it was the end of Cocolem, there's a new brand coming, and I was collecting people's emails. But yeah, now looking back, whilst I was going through that whole research and development phase to create the products, I should have taken more time to actually plan out, like build a community, which I didn't do.
And what did you launch with, and why did you decide to launch with those products?
Yes, so initially we launched with three products. So Clean Green Superfood Serum and Sweet Orange Superfood Lip Balm and then Coconut Crumble Lip Scrub. At the time, I was working in Amazon. So I was working in a warehouse, 8 hours a day, no natural sunlight, no aircon warehouse. And my skin, I could just see that my skin was just really suffering. I was getting breakouts. It just looked really dull. Yeah. So I wanted something that was going to like lock in moisture to my skin and just help brighten the unevenness. So that's why I started thinking about Clean Greens. And then the lip care products was just coming from the experience that I'd had with Cocolem. Like lip products were great. And I just kind of like improved them with more innovative and nourishing ingredients. So yeah, literally launched with those three. Clean Greens has become best-selling product, a cult product. Mm-hmm. So it won Best Facial Oil of 2020 in the Women's Health Beauty Awards. And then Sweet Orange went on to be shortlisted for Best Lip Product in the Stylist Beauty Awards in 2022.
Yeah. And how has it grown since then? Have you added more products in?
Yeah, so since then we've now got a SKU of 8. So we have a serum called Tomato Tonic, which uses upcycled tomato seed oil. And it's really nourishing for sensitive skin types that was like get quite a bit of irritation and tightness. And then our first cleanser, Blue Dew Fruit Enzyme Cleanser, which is an oral tonic cleanser. And it uses papaya and pineapple enzymes just to gently brighten the skin. That also won Best Cleanser of 2021 in the Cosmopolitan Beauty Awards. And then we launched into body care products. We've got a body oil called Golden Nectar and a whipped body butter called Cocoa Cloud, which is really good for eczema and psoriasis. And then our first wellness product, which is a natural aromatherapy oil candle called Recharge, which helps to de-stress.
And I think as well, some people, when they think about starting a brand, they don't realize the amount of time to developing a product and launching a product. So say your new products that you say, so you now have 5 products. How long had you been working on those before you actually released them out to the world?
Months. I can remember Clean Greens, even to get the scent right, that it took me over like 50 tries. And then even with Blue Dew, that took me months to develop that. So it takes I naively think I could get stuff done in like 2 weeks, right? that's never the point. It never works out like that. So yeah, the whole initially starting out the research and development plus 6 months easily. Yeah.
So the formulas are your own, they're specific to you, and you created them based on your knowledge
from
that
scratch.
You're making them in the UK?
Yes. Yeah, I am.
Fantastic. And when I was looking back at your social media and looking back at how the brand has grown, it seemed to have taken off right from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone always thinks that their products are great. I always knew that they worked. And I also knew that the brand was, very different in its messaging. Like, whilst there are hundreds, if not thousands, of vegan and cruelty-free skincare brands out there, I think the message that we're sending, that the products you use on your body should be as nutritious as the fruit and vegetables you eat, this kind of like 360 approach to skincare, is different. But it was quite surprising. And I just think that it was very timely. So I launched just before COVID. Everyone was at home on Zoom, looking at their skin, started taking a bit more, I suppose skincare started to become a bit more important for people. So then in May 2020, following the death of George Floyd, there was then this massive spotlight on the Black Lives Matter movement and Black-owned brands, supporting Black-owned brands. So I think, the timing of launching really just helped make the people more aware of the Glossary brand. So yeah, it was surprising, definitely, but I just think luck had a lot to play in that. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Are you ready to scale your e-commerce store? Want to do it without having to wear yet another hat and become a digital marketing expert? This episode is brought to you by Neon Digital Clicks, the paid traffic partner for family and women's e-commerce brands wanting to scale their stores from five-figure to six-figure months using Meta, Google, and Klaviyo marketing services. Neon is offering listeners a free scaling audit worth £3,000. So whether your sales have plateaued or you're looking for growth, this is a great opportunity to lift the lid on your business and identify where the opportunities are hiding. Head to scalingglow.com to discover just how much revenue you could scale your store to this year.
In terms of like your investment and where you spent your money at the beginning, and we'll talk about, I mean, you received a grant, which was fantastic, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but when you were first starting out, obviously there's a lot of money that goes into developing the brand and the products themselves. How else did you split it? Was it bootstrapped? Talk to me a little bit about that initial financing of the brand.
Yeah, it was definitely bootstrapped. So as I said, I was working at Amazon, doing a lot of overtime there. So a lot of money that I had earned from that went into the Glossary. And then most of the money that I did have went on the initial packaging, went on the raw ingredients. And then we were sending out a lot of products to influencers. That was kind of like our marketing strategy from the first few initial months. So that was quite a big cost to undertake as like a bootstrap brand. So we was gifting a lot of like micro and macro influencers, and can now count some big influences in the vegan beauty space. So Nicole Whittle, Vegan Beauty Girl, Imani Evans, and one of my favorite juice creators, Issa, as part of the Glossary community. Yeah, that cost was a lot to take on at the beginning.
And did the influencer marketing work for you as well? Like, was there any kind of thing that you learned from that of what was working better than not, or who people were connecting with from an influencer point of view?
Yeah, I definitely think it worked really well. And we're again starting to dip our toes more into that this year. Just in terms of brand awareness and getting people talking about the brand, I think as a solo founder, there's only so much how many times you can speak about it or you can post a video. You really have to branch out to the community and have them talk about the brand as well. So yeah, I found it's been really beneficial for the Glossary. And a lot of the influencers that we gifted have become like supporters and customers, so that's really nice to see that we've still got the connection to the brand. It kind of just wasn't like a here, use the product and forget about it. A lot of them still champion and support the brand, which is great.
And we mentioned there earlier a little bit about the grant that you received. So there was a Black Girl Beauty program and you received a £10,000 grant. How did that happen? What did the program go through? What did you learn from it?
The program was great. So it was quite intense. I believe it was 6 weeks. And we had sessions that focused on marketing, how to build a community, raising finance, wholesale, retail. And it was led by the senior beauty team of Glossier. So we heard from Carl Leahy, CEO, the CFO of Glossier and a lot of the head of the marketing and retail team. So it was really great to see the potential that we all, the five other grantees of us, could achieve. Just being able to see how Glossier started and now what it's grown into, being one of the, if not the biggest beauty brands in the world. And I learned from that is a lot of how to engage the community, and especially with like press, influencers and marketing. Some of the, I suppose, the how to hire a team and some of the, I suppose, later series of how to raise financing will be beneficial for me later on in my journey. Yeah. But the stuff that I could take initially was definitely like how to build a community. They've got one of the biggest, if not most engaged communities in the world. That's how they build their brand and how they introduce new products. So it was really great learning from the senior team. And just as a beauty founder.
Being in the room.
Like I always say, your net worth is your network. How great is it to have like a direct contact with Glossier CEO or the head of the retail or the head of socials? It's just great.
And how are you then engaging with your community and how are you standing out?
Yes, sir. In terms of engaging the community, it is a lot via email at the moment. I am working on some more in real life events, but typically it is more so email and social media. We are moving. We're currently going through a bit of a phase where I'm moving from Flowdesk to Klaviyo because all of my e-commerce founders, friends are like, you need to be on Klaviyo. Klaviyo is the best one. And we have some exciting partnerships in the pipeline to focus on like reconnecting with our community with like direct mail and more automations. And we also connect with our community through in real life pop-ups. So we've done pop-ups with the lovely twins, Daisy and Liv, owners of Salad Days Market. And that's how we was able to pop up in Selfridges. We've also done pop-ups with Jammy and Yard and Parish, which are online retailers on Box Park Shoreditch. So it's kind of like been twofold, connecting with them on digital and also encouraging them to attend our in real life pop-ups.
So for you, rather than using one channel, that you're going in real life pop-ups with the brand partnerships. Can you talk any more about the brand partnerships? You might not be able to share what you're working with, but are there things that you can mention or how they've come about?
Yeah, so we're still in conversations, but we want to work with aligned like beauty and wellness brands to do more product sampling, because what we found is that once people use the products, they really enjoy them and they come back. We on average have like a 53% average returning customer rate, which compared to the average is like 23 is like really good. We would want to work with like period brands, juice brands, other like wellness and lifestyle brands to give their community a chance to try like a sample size of like Clean Greens, our best-selling product, or Tomato Tonic. Because I just think it just really aligns. Clean Greens is great for hormonal skin, great for period skincare brands. It's, you know, cold pressed nutritious ingredients, great for juice brands or natural deodorant brands. So yeah, that's kind of like what I'm trying to achieve this year.
No, and I think that again it's great because it's brands that are aligned
with
your brand, and it's brands that have the same kind of demographic or similar demographics that you can get in front of, and thinking a bit more out of the box than people just focusing on one channel or using influencers to get their brand out there or whatever it might be. What were the challenges you faced at the beginning versus the challenges you are facing now?
That's a really good question. I would say at the beginning, a lot of the challenges were like very personal. So I had a really big fear of public speaking. I said at the beginning, very naive to the actual work it takes to build a skincare brand, not just from a lifestyle brand into like a big multinational brand that I see the Glossier as. And also, I just didn't have a lot of confidence. There was a lot of imposter syndrome. I just felt like because I had come from a completely different industry with a background in law, that who was I to be, you know, creating these products and telling people that they should buy my products as opposed to buying a competitor brand. So there was a lot of, I suppose, personal work that I had to do on building my confidence, building up my public speaking ability. And just grounding myself in, you know what you're doing. You know what I mean? This isn't your first rodeo. You've created incredible skincare products that work. You've created incredible brand. Just believing in yourself more. I would say now it's capital. Just having capital to do all of the multiple ideas that pop into my head like on a daily basis. Just being able to have the capital just to try and test things. Things just cost a lot of money, a lot of, all the time. So I suppose it's having the capital to be able to do that. But I've learned that you just have to be creative in doing some things most times. Like, yes, I did talk to you about wanting to do the product sampling. If it doesn't work out, I'm just going to go into the streets of London and start giving out my products. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like guerrilla marketing, there's just so many other things I have to be more aware of as like a bootstrap brand. But yeah, I would say before it was the personal challenges, now definitely the capital.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs and people that are starting out, especially when they come from a different background, which a lot of entrepreneurs do when they launch a business, it might be in a field that they weren't part of or feel part of. How did you gain more confidence? How did you change that mindset?
You know, it was just during COVID. I just thought, Wash, if you're not going to speak about your brand, like no one's going to find it. You're just going to have to get, you know, it's quite cliche to say that, comfortable with the uncomfortable. If you're not the one championing your brand, why are people going to get behind you and support you if you're too afraid to turn on your camera and do a video? It was just literally as simple as that. I thought, you've spent all this time and effort with everything that you've gone through with Chanel to now rebranding and then creating this brand, and you're going to let that all fall by the wayside because you don't want to speak. And I just thought, no, I can't let myself down in that regard. So yeah, I just had to just get comfortable. I just started small, started with the Instagram live series, done that, I believe, every month, started then doing videos, and then started being invited to speak on panels and like speak on podcasts like this. So it started small. I didn't jump into doing a TED talk, but I started very small. And then once I started to feel comfortable with that, then it later grew onto bigger platforms.
I think it's a great piece of advice because, like you say, you don't need to do your worst fear straight away, you know, like getting up on a stage or whatever. Like you say, just showing up live or doing a video, and that those small steps will really help build the momentum. What does the next 6 months look like for you in the business? What's happening?
This next 6 months, really focused on, getting more people talking about and using the glossary. So really hoping I can tie down some of those product partnerships that I was talking about. And we have a new facial tool launching in Q4. So we're launching a mushroom gua sha, which helps with lymphatic drainage and just helps to sculpt the skin. I've been using it every day, and so far I've just been really seeing the improvement in terms of like fine lines and just the overall cheekbones and my jawline. So I'm really excited to get that out in Q4. And yeah, that's it, really trying to focus. I have been trying to, you know, focus on retail as well, but that has been quite slow. So I thought I might as well just focus on like my D2C at the moment and growing that community.
And speaking on wholesale, because it is a tough market, it takes a long time, I think, you know, and I've had a guest on previously and they've took them 6 months of, or many, many calls to Liberties to try and get in there. Who would be your ideal? Put it out there, Rishan, who's your ideal?
There's so many. I mean, I think because
it aligns. Who would be your top three?
Top three. I would say because they support a lot of indie brands. I really like Cult Beauty.
Yeah.
I think because it aligns with the grocery vibes, I definitely would say Whole Foods as well. Naturissimo. They would be also next. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, have you approached them?
I have, yeah. So I haven't heard back from Whole Foods yet. Naturissimo said that they didn't say no, but they said not yet. And I haven't heard back from Cult yet, so we'll just have to wait. Of course, there's other retailers. I don't want to let them feel like.
You don't want to say you're going to say no to people.
Exactly. I've approached others as well, but it does take a lot of time.
It does. And I think it's just some people will think, oh, I've outreached now, I'll wait for them to get back to me. But it's the consistent follow up. But, you know, whatever new is coming, you've got your new product, emailing them out. Oh, just so you know, this is coming. Because that might have been the one thing that brings them in and goes, yeah, that's what we want.
It's constantly having to chase, but not being annoying. As you said, let them know this is coming. I was featured in this press. Just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah. Like, what's the kind of new angle that you could take? And what do you want to stop, start and continue doing in the business at the moment?
I would say I would stop comparing my journey to others. Because, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. I would start taking more risk in terms of like my marketing strategy, not playing it as safe as, you know, typically you're told to do when you build a brand. And I would start being more grateful for how far I've come. Yeah, I think I beat myself up a lot, especially when I'm comparing myself to others, but I'm just like, nope, this is a journey you're meant to be on. You'll get there. Just keep going.
Rashaan, thank you so much. Where can people find The Glossary and where can they find you?
So we're on all the main social media. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest at The Glossary Shop. And our website is theglossaryshop.com. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and Instagram or Facebook.
Well, they'll all be linked in the show notes. But thank you so much for joining me today. And I will be back again next week with another great guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Start, Scale, Succeed. If you've enjoyed today, I would love for you to leave a review and I will see you again next week. If you'd like to hear more from me, your host, Nicole Higgins, you can follow me on Instagram at The Buyer and Retail Coach. Check out my website, www.buyerandretailcoach.com, or find me on LinkedIn. All the links are below in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, The Step, for lots of helpful tips and advice.